water.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning to those across the pond and around the world. You're listening to Earth Changes TV Radio Hour. My name is Mitch Batras, and I'm your host. All right, let's get right into it, folks. Welcome to this live broadcast. This is March 30th. And here we are, another wonderful show. The only thing that's not wonderful tonight is my voice. I have an inflamed glands, and interesting, it's just on the right side. It could be an infection. Somebody I spoke to about it thinks it might be some type of infection, or, you know, who knows what happens. When our immune is down a bit, and boy, have I been burning the wick at both ends, the candle at both ends, rather, and it's been quite a ride, let me tell you, folks, and it is only going to escalate. So maybe this is a message to me as well as to all of us. So let's take good care of ourselves. Let's try and maintain that balance. Nothing wrong with exuberance, passion, and zeal for life, information, and preparedness. But let's do it in a healthy way. I guess I'm talking to myself. So I know a single one of you are going to be disappointed in this statement. But tonight, my good friend Ian Lungold is going to be doing most of the talking, because I can't tell you how much pain I'm in right now. I'm doing some throat lozenges and that kind of stuff, but those things don't do much. First, I have to touch on some of these breaking news events. I will write on it tomorrow. I'm going to give myself the rest of the night off after this live broadcast just to seek that balance I was just talking about. But my goodness, let me start with the solar flares and the sunspot count. It has not been, except for my articles, it really has not been published much. But we have had some incredible geomagnetic storms, folks. We had a sunspot count of 169. 169, and here we are 4 years beyond the so-called 11-year apex that, well, actually no one's even buying off on that, including NASA, that this 11-year cycle, we're not in the 11-year cycle. We're so far beyond that, it's actually become common knowledge. So here we had 169 count sunspot yesterday. Today, 121. Huge sunspots. 587, I believe it is just humongous. I expect more and even possible an X-class flare to come from this. And remember, the CMEs are just as damaging, standing for coronal mass ejections. Now, here we have all this solar activity going on, and as I predicted, did you, in your region, notice a significant temperature differential within a 24-hour period? I can tell you, in Seattle, Washington, and in the greater area, we had as much as a 20-degree swing, a 20-degree temperature shift within 24 hours. No, within hours, much less than that. And, of course, as you know through my equation, that is a direct reflection of the solar activity that is going on. So, in this article that I'll put out for the newsletter tomorrow, I certainly will write about that. Now, for those of you that tuned in last night, was that exciting? We had a special presentation last night on March 29th. I had the founder of the comet that I wrote about. And beat all the mainstream media. I think Drudge is angry at me because I beat him too, so he didn't even post it, which was a bit of a surprise to me, but that's okay. I'm going to start seeing a lot of that. And we had him on the show yesterday. I will have it up on the archives, the audio archives up tonight if you want to hear that. He's from Brussels, Belgium, so of course he's speaking French. And it was, you know, we had to speak very slow, but I did get him on the air. We did talk about it. We talked about the amateur astronomers and that everybody is noticing an increase of asteroids and even comets. As a matter of fact, as of last night after the show, I found out that he had also discovered it. By the way, his name is Robert. Oh, let me see. Where did I put it? Wouldn't you know that I would misplace it right before the show, but let me see if I can find it. There it is. Robert Hotspot is his name, and I'll have a full article on that later on. Now, here was the interesting surprise to last night's show, is he has a partner here in the States. His name is Arnie Rosner. Arnie Rosner has a company that you can lease telescope time and operate it remotely. Arnie Rosner owns two telescopes in New Mexico, not too far from Chaco Canyon. You can purchase time through Arnie's service, and you are actually moving the telescope yourself from your own terminal. And that is what Robert did, and that's how he found this and confirmed this asteroid. Now, I didn't even know such a thing existed, so you know you want an article on that information, and I plan to do that. Finally, earthquakes. Now, it's true that I might be a little hypervigilant about this, but I'm going to bring it to your attention anyway. Not that far away, probably about 100 miles away from Yellowstone in southern Idaho, a 3.1 earthquake occurred. Also today, a 3.5 occurred in Colorado, and two earthquakes in New Mexico, a 3.1 and a 3.0. First of all, they're in unusual locations where we don't see earthquakes. Second of all, because of what happened in Yellowstone and with my experience with the USGS in my investigation, every time I see this measurement earthquake, and in the locations that they're set, I can't help but think that it's not an earthquake at all. It's simply seismic activity caused by something, whether it's underground testing. Now, they're claiming it as mine collapse and mine blast, but I don't think that's happening. Are they testing bombs? Or are they digging tunnels? Something is going on. So, anyway, that's the scoop, and my voice is just about at it. So, let me introduce you to the very few of you left that do not know my good friend Ian Lungold. He is the creator of the Mayan Conversion Codex. Ian is a leading researcher of the Maya and their calendar systems. He is also a contributing author, artist, and speaker. Now, I've asked him on tonight for some reasons. One, of course, I'm as interested as anybody else on the follow-up on the U.S. economy. Look at all these telltale signs that say that we sure are in a tailspin. But I'm also curious about what's going on with the sun and of course, how to handle this on emotional and human level. So, Ian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome, my friend, once again.
Good evening, everybody.
Yes, you have a very popular following, and I sure have enjoyed our journey together. Like always, Ian, is there anything that you want to address in the monologue before we go into various topics?
Yes, I would like to welcome everyone to the third night of the galactic cycle of the Mayan calendar. What we are all experiencing, the test that each and every one of us are experiencing. This is all part of the expansion of consciousness through the third night. Each and every one of us are being called forth to confront our actual situation and to take action as needed to propel our survival. And that's what I want to talk about tonight.
Wow. Well, I don't think you could get much, you certainly got my attention as you always do. I don't even know where to start, Ian. Of course, I think most of our audience tonight certainly has been experiencing such, maybe less defined. Can you help us define just exactly what you're seeing coming are actually, we're already here.
We are already here. I trust that most of the people who are tuned in tonight have listened to previous shows, and so they have some idea as to what the Mayan calendar is about and the various levels of consciousness that have been built by the Mayan, or according to the Mayan calendar, and they have built a stair step of consciousness, and we are walking those stairs according to a very specific schedule. And if you're not familiar with that basic understanding or foundation, then I suggest that you look at the archives that are there on Mitch Batlow's site, or come to my website at www.mayanmagix.com and read the information there, or listen to the archives to get more filled in. Because what we're going to be going into tonight is the actual application of this Mayan calendar's schedule on what is happening today and what will necessarily follow. And we're not going to go into all the basics.
Okay, good. Well, let's do that then. Let's launch right in, Ian. And I guess we could look at this as a several part series, folks. Matter of fact, I can't think of a better way to address these issues as they're unfolding. And I agree with Ian 100%. Instead of taking the time to build foundation, go to his website, find out all the information you want. And then as I bring Ian on, I've decided to bring Ian on at least once a month. And as we get closer, as events escalate, I'm going to have him on every other week. Ian, take us to where you'd like tonight.
Well, let's talk about the third night and what sorts of things happen during the third night.
All right.
And I'm changing phones. There we go. Okay.
That is better, yes.
Okay. The third night is when new consciousness or new expectations of humanity, when new expectations occur, then that expectation lasts, it's like an exuberance when this realization comes. But then there's the space of time before it manifests. And that turns into dissatisfaction.
Yes.
It's called impatience.
Yes.
And that's exactly where we are at this stage of consciousness in the Mayan calendar, is in impatience. Everyone's had this experience in their personal lives. And you know that your state of mind during impatience is not very rational.
You know,
it's reactionary.
Yes. I was just going to mention, Ian, that a guest I had on a few weeks ago, her name is Solera. She wrote a book about 11-11, The Doorway. And the way she described it is that many of us have been waiting for a green light, if you will. I love the way she put it. It was a great visual. And that is in our journey. In other words, we have some intuition. We have some concept of what's going on. We might even know of what parts of it might look like as we move along, at least in our hope and faith. And we, those like me and you perhaps, have been getting all these often red lights, stop, and sometimes yellow lights. But we're very pensive, as and tonight, as you say the word impatient, for the green light. Please, take it away.
Well, everyone gets their own internal signal. And I guess some people are getting their signal earlier than others. For instance, there are those of you listening to this program, and you are listening with a particular consciousness that is definitely different to all those people who have not tuned in. This is a self-evolution. This is not by chance. This is by choice. And we are making that choice.
Sometimes
you are paying attention.
Yes, we're making that choice, and sometimes begrudgingly, because of the discomfort it often causes when we do change, when things change.
Be thankful that you are recognizing the source of the changes, even if the changes appear bad. It's good that we're identifying the source. The more we identify the real root of the problem, the closer we are to the solution of that problem. And that's exactly what's happening right now. During the third night is when consciousness becomes impatient for the solution. This causes revolutions and civil wars every single third night. What happens during the third night are systems which are now consciously flawed. In other words, people are aware of the foibles in current systems.
Yes.
It's during the third night that those systems fail in every previous cycle.
Yes.
And we are witnessing that right now.
Yes.
Not just economically, not just politically, but ecologically as well.
Yes.
The weather is going straight to Armageddon.
It's hard to disagree with that, Ian. But as you know, my stance on this is that it's cyclical. Not to get off into all that.
Well, of course.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about,
yes.
Is these huge cycles,
yes,
that are telescoping. In other words, instead of this cycle being 400 years long, like it was when Egypt was getting torn apart, and Greece, and the War of Troy, all happened during the third night, then in the last one, it was 19.7 years. And there was the Spanish Revolution, and there was the French Revolution, and there was revolution in Warsaw, Moscow, in Russia. There was revolution in China, in India, in Japan, with the samurai, who were they were determined not to let Westerners or Western consciousness into Japan, and there was a huge, long civil war there.
Yes.
And then there was the U.S. Civil War. During the last third night, there is no mistake here. There is a definite reason that the incorporation called United States,
yes,
is a reason that it is divided right down the middle in consciousness.
Yes.
That's exactly what this period of time, in this particular cycle, is supposed to do. It is supposed to tear everything down to its most basic elements and be fully, fully examined.
Yes.
That's all that's going on here. And it's not comfortable.
Right.
People are so afraid of people finding out their secrets through Big Brother.
Yes.
You know, that is a tension. It's a source of fear. Well, I got one question. What are you doing with those damn secrets in your pocket? You've got to get them off.
Time to get rid of them, to shed our skin, to find our place of integrity, empowerment.
And become human. Humans are able to make mistakes. And recognize that and move on from them. Not sit there tight, hiding them. All the people who end up doing that are not the kind of people who would evolve naturally. People who are more flexible, who find new tools to work with, new purchase in consciousness, those are the people who actually evolve on by natural selection. This is no different than the dinosaurs going extinct, or the Neanderthal going extinct, or the Roman Empire, or the Nazi regime. It's no different in basic principle. It's different in the detail of the surface.
In other words, we all have to adjust, shift, evolve, and I don't mean this in a negative way, folks, but I guess experience the strife that would go with it otherwise. Is that correct, Ian?
Well, who are the best, most widely renowned football players? They're the ones who play the game. And to damn with spraining an ankle here and there.
Yes.
They are out there playing hard every play, taking their licks and giving them as good they got.
Yes.
And that's what we all respect and honor, and that's why we pay them so damn much money. Because we wish we were them. And we identify with them. And that's right to do. But it's more right to be that than watch it. And that's what that's the test that we're all at right now.
You know, I have been kind of take an interest of where society is going in the sense of individuality I don't mean individuality in a positive way, folks. I mean, actually, I think I'd rather use the word isolation. That with the age of the computer, with us having to work two and three jobs to live in a way that we're used to or comfortable, and to be distracted by so many things that we've lost that sense of community. And without that sense of integration, I think that's where these fears and problems are starting to manifest, Ian.
Exactly right. And that is, again, just an exercise of this consciousness of the third night. What the third night is about is discernment of what did work and what doesn't work. And ejecting what hasn't worked to advance consciousness. That doesn't evolve. And then the surviving consciousness goes on. What is happening with your friendships and relationships is that you're becoming more and more discerning. And it's harder and harder to adapt or accept another kind of viewpoint.
That is an interesting point, yes.
And so this leads to the breakdown of the agreements that people have made for their relationships, because most of those agreements were based on very physical considerations.
Yes.
Physical attraction being the first. And that, not that I'm down on that at all, but
right.
that's just the fact.
Right.
That they have that agreement. And then there is after the physical attraction, then there is the emotional attraction. And then there is the mental attraction. And those things are what are harder to hold together. What those things are up to mental are all really based on physical things. And only people who have a common intent and purpose in spirit, in just the intent of their life, those people who have a common goal that is bigger than themselves, those people will have successful relationships.
Yes, and I am witnessing that, Ian, cosmically, or actually I should say through the electronically, more realistically, that people are gathering together. We are finding and feeling a part of a community. The downside of that, at least what I'm seeing at this point, is that it's through email, it's through electronic services, possibly telephone, but usually not even that. And do you believe that sometime in the near future that there will be something that takes us from our, this accumulative thing that's going on, except adding isolation to it at this point, and take us from there to actual physical community again? Is that possible?
Actually, where consciousness is right now is on the internet.
Yes.
That's where the stream is. And it isn't to your next door neighbor.
Yes.
It isn't very much to the grocery clerk.
That's right.
Where it is on the internet. And that's where people are communicating.
Yes.
This is very important to understand, because it's a step in the next evolution of our consciousness in the ability to communicate. And there is an event which is coming up on June 8th of this year.
Yes.
And that is the passage of Venus between the Earth and the Sun. Now, if everyone out there just thinks of what you know about Venus, beauty, grace, allure, romance, strength, the feminine, Hathor, heart, Quetzalcoatl of the Mayan calendar, that is there, Jesus Christ, is Venus. And what will happen on June 8th is for 7 hours, Venus will pass in front of the Sun, and the Sun in all of his beautiful, raging glory will be blasting everything about Venus straight at Earth.
What do you think might occur? Now, usually it's not, folks, at least my experience, it's not like hitting a light switch where it happens from one second to the other, although maybe it will happen that way. It's often more of a gradual thing. Ian, paint us a picture of what you think that might bring in.
Telepathy.
Telepathy?
Yeah.
Telepathy?
Yeah.
And how fast do you think that will I notice this on June 9th, or will I see a gradual unfolding?
You've already seen the gradual unfolding.
Yes.
What is coming is a vast acceleration from that point. And the people who are ready to avail themselves that ability will be more fully participating than the people who aren't as willing. Just like there's certain people go to see a certain movie and others stay away.
Yes.
So this availability will be there for everyone.
Yes.
Those who participate will receive it. Those who don't believe this kind of thing could happen or don't want it to happen won't get that ability.
Tell me more about what the happening is.
Okay.
Telepathy, yes.
Well, let me refer it back to the Mayan calendar. Let's
yes.
build some foundation here.
Okay.
In every one of the Venus passages that have gone before, what has occurred, and it was usually in the first day of the cycles of these consciousnesses, that there was a tremendous jump in the ability of communication.
Yes.
Every single time. And you can go back and study those and look at your history, and you will see the developments of communication. One of them, during one of the passages, they completed the transatlantic telephone cable.
Yes.
Right during the passage. One before that had to do with circumnavigating the world. It's just completely fascinating. But there have been huge jumps in our ability to communicate. So looking at the Mayan calendar and what we can expect of the next step, we've gone from leaving our handprints on the wall and painting pictures of bisons, we've gone to being able to write, and then to print, and then to be able to broadcast through the radio and telephone and the television, radio, all these things. Just come on right up to the internet, where now people are communicating without even looking at one another.
Right.
Which is awfully damn close, excuse me, to just being able to telepath.
Hmm.
So that would be the next step in our ability to communicate with one another. And that step, that jump, happens historically during the Venus passage.
Wow.
This is going to freak people out, you understand. But you also understand, people, that this whole cycle is about ethics. Ethics. That truth that wells from within yourself. Your own personal integrity. And the way to have safe telepathy is to be in integrity, people.
Yes.
That's where this is. It's a forced play. It's not something that you either do or don't do.
Right.
It's a forced deal. And to make it through, each person has to stand in their own integrity and follow their own truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the more substantive fact you can pin on your truth, the more solid it is. That's why I've done all this study.
Oh, yes. This thing, I can't help but think about politics, because in one sense, I guess the better word would be society. And it's hard to skirt around politics as I start to see this play out. And as Ian is describing these things, I imagine that would be the arena where it certainly would play out. I mean, what would it look like if people, we're already starting to shift, and I believe just since January we've regained our voice, many of us, on what we believe to be right and just and coming from a place of truth and integrity. We're no longer fearful, at least most of us, of being Dixie-chicked. And it's that kind of scenario I think might play out in many areas. Am I on the right track, Ian?
Exactly right. Thank you, Mitch. Those are great examples. And I believe that people are finding their spine in many ways.
Yeah.
In the court systems, all across this country, people are standing up to the corruption of the courts.
Yes.
And complaining and writing newspaper articles and editorials. There is more and more of this happening. And it looks horrible on the surface because all of this is being disclosed.
Yes.
But it's been going on the whole time, people. It's just now that you're starting to be able to pay attention to it. And that's just the people listening to this program. That's not the people you work with. They wouldn't be listening to this.
Right.
You know, they got a TV dinner waiting at home. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
Do you expect any to shift just for a few minutes on the physical part, do you expect any shifts cosmically other than the Venus, coming through? Do you,
Oh, yeah. You were touching on it earlier. I also mentioned that there was this acceleration of consciousness going on.
Yes.
And the faster that things happen, the more can happen in any particular given time. You know, if you have a bowl full of with three marbles in it, there's just three colors. But you pour 50 marbles in the same bowl, there's more possibilities.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's what's happening all around us. That's why things look so frantic.
Yes.
But what that means is that more good things can happen and more bad stuff can happen.
Yes.
More things that are completely beyond our imagination, both goodly and badly.
Yes.
One of the badlies is that we're probably moving into an area of space, because remember, we're not just going around the sun. The sun is also in an orbit at this end of the galaxy arm.
Yes.
Around the Pleiades. And then we're all moving around the galaxy every 250 million years. So everything out there is moving, and we're into getting into space that we've never been before.
Yes.
I mean, we've always been doing that. But you ever seen a meteor field?
Oh, sure, of course.
You know.
Yes.
Well, if there can be a meteor field out there, then what's the possibility that we're moving into one?
Well, I must say that, and I mean this, folks, scientifically, and backed up by many amateur astronomers, that the count of asteroid and comets have increased sharply, and of course that is to factor in that we can see things better. In other words, we have better technology, better telescopes, and well, I was going to say more eyes to the sky, but no, that's not true at all. I think there's probably fewer eyes to the sky than ever before.
But you know what? We got more galactic consciousness.
Yes.
That's what it is. I mean, for crying out loud, this guy rented a scope from Denmark or somewhere and happened to just find this comet?
That's
Come
right.
on. This is consciousness, baby. This is magic. And it's all around us.
Oh, boy. I wish you didn't mention that word magic. I just saw a CNN report about 3 hours ago. Oh, I hope not. Bring me back to the topic, Ian, but let me just finish this one thought because of this word magic. Due to the movie The Passion, on I think it was a CNN report just a few hours ago, they were monitoring people who were experiencing miracles. And I'm equating this idea with miracles and magic, and it may or may not be related to the movie. I saw the movie. I could see how it certainly could be related to the movie. But wouldn't it be interesting, Ian, if we started to see mystical events unfolding? Well, let me put it another way. Do you believe we will begin to see our reporting of miracles, if you will, begin to unfold?
Absolutely. The miracles we hear about are technological ones. You know, we've got used to that now. I mean, look at the size of your watch. It's like we've got lots of technological marvels. So what's the next level of marvels to bring to consciousness? But ones that aren't explainable by science.
Oh, yes.
And yet totally natural to each person who experiences it.
Yes.
So that kind of thing is all part of the realm of possibility. For instance, let's say that we are running into a meteor field. Well, that would pretty well wipe everything out, wouldn't it? Unless consciousness evolved to a point where they could actually change their situation.
Well,
and that kind of thing, with the ability to telepath all consciousness focused on one reality or another.
Did the Mayans ever hint to that? Did they ever actually experience that themselves?
I believe that they did before the fall of their civilization. And they had predicted the fall of their civilization, by the way. They had a different kind of consciousness than we have, and so it's very difficult to imagine theirs. But they saw completely different things in the sky. They had this deeper understanding, which we now are appreciating. They had a deeper understanding of creation, and a tremendous amount of their knowledge was lost.
Yes.
And the burnings of all their books by the Spanish.
Yes.
So it wasn't until now. And now we understand, of course, that this is exactly the time it was supposed to happen, that this information come forth.
Yes.
And it's not information for everybody, because not everybody is interested.
That's true.
So it's not something that anyone can shove down anybody's throat, although it's going to run right over the top of them. It's like, this is part of the uncomfortable part of all this.
Oh, I know.
Is that we can see all the signs, you know, and, you know, it's the story of the grasshopper. I mean, that play his fiddle all during fall and didn't store anything and died in the winter. I mean, it's an ancient story. People are just fiddling away. And it's with more and more diversions.
Oh, yes, I know. Now, to use Edgar Cayce's idea that as within, so as without, meaning that the challenges or inner turmoil that a human being experiences often will play itself out or manifest in an equal reality in the universe. In other words, if there is a strong shift of consciousness, as we're speaking of, that in some ways there's going to be at least a period of chaos.
That's what the third night's all about. And we've got until December 4th for this to play out. And then a little bit tapering off. So it's going to get pretty dramatic. Especially when we get past the midnight of this cycle. I mean, every day has a midday, and then the sun changes direction, and every night has a midnight, and we move toward dawn. And the same thing happens in a third night in this 360 days, and the very middle of it is June 6th.
2 days before Venus.
That's right. In other words, usually at this time something happens in the universe. Something changes the direction of consciousness.
What? Now, for those of you that have tuned in, folks, welcome to the show. You're listening to a live interview with Ian Lundgold. You can reach Ian at his site to catch up on all the information that we've been discussing, and of course much, much more at his website, which is www.mayanmagic.com. Let me spell it, MayanMagix.com. Now, to further describe these things that will perhaps help us along, if you will, let's touch on the economic collapse again.
Okay.
And then, of course, maybe towards the end of the show, we can talk about what you see coming in the way of Earth changes themselves. What's the latest, Ian, on the predictions of the economic shift?
Well, I'm not really an economist.
Right.
And I wouldn't admit it if I was. But it doesn't look good for the economy. And according to the Mayan calendar, I mean, here we are in a night, and in every single one of the nights through the whole planetary cycle and now into the galactic cycle, in every one of the nights, there was an economic collapse. Go check it out. Look at the stock market. It's the most... Actually, there's an article at our webpage written by Dr. Carl Coleman called The Mayan Calendar and the World Economy. And it has the charts and graphs right there, and you can check it all out and look up the data yourself. And there it is. The best measurement of the Mayan calendar is the production of the world stock market, because it's based only on consciousness. That is, the stock market is only based on how people feel about things.
Oh, yes.
So this is a perfect measure. And in every one of the nights, first night, second night, now third night, in every one of them, there was an economic crash. So it shouldn't be any surprise.
Are you... Do you still believe it's going to be in April? I think it was April 17th.
April 17th corresponds with the date that the Civil War started in the United States the last time around.
Yes.
And I'm telling you guys, I mean, take a look at the campaign.
Yes.
And listen to the rhetoric.
Yes.
It's all battles, strikes, shoots, hits, you know?
Yes.
This is a war, guys.
Yes.
And it's a civil war.
I would agree.
it's not all guns and bullets and bombs and terrorists. It's a civil war that's going on, and it's going on in the courts.
Matter of fact, Ian, in the news reports that I saw and heard today, that was almost the exact language that they used. They didn't quite go to revolution, but they did go. They did describe simply that we're a divided country, and you're right. It's at least at this point we're not pulling out our guns, something's got to give, and I'm very curious of what will facilitate this. This purge, if you will.
Panic would do it.
Yes.
Something like earthquakes or big natural disasters or misunderstandings.
Yes.
That would do it.
Oh, yes.
And
do you see that happening this year, or at least a build-up to that point?
Well, I certainly see a build-up. I mean, I really don't see anything in particular happening.
Yeah,
I can see what has happened in the past, and I see what's possible now. And you guys, everybody out there listening, I don't have to tell you what might happen. You got them all. You know that there's a bunch of stuff that could happen.
Yeah,
and probably might happen. And you got, don't hope it doesn't happen. You know,
right?
I mean, there's all that, and this is all part of this challenge. Of this consciousness.
Yes.
And I want to thank everybody out there who's listening. Thank yourselves for confronting your situation and for having the dream to be able to do something about it or be different than this. And it's very, very true that evolution continues. I really want to talk a little bit about the fourth day because everything seems so bleak right now. That is really important that people know that there's a light, and not just the hope of a light, but a whole bunch of evidence that during the fourth day, consciousness rebounds or is victorious. If it wasn't true, none of us would be here talking about this. Because we've been through lots of third nights before and always went into a fourth day.
Well, tell us, what do we have to look forward to? What is a fourth day? What might it look like?
Well, it might look like your consciousness not being burdened by everybody else's I can't and you can't do that. That's the biggest, baddest thing about the fourth day, is that the limits are bound. On what is possible and what is not possible start to change dramatically. They've always done it in the past.
How long will it take to, when do we get to the fourth day? How long is the third night?
The third night is until December 4th.
Okay.
2004. And then December 5th, it goes to the third. And the fourth is the beginning of the fourth day.
You know, that would make it 1 week past the election, wouldn't it? Oh boy.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, it's the image or the impression of this third night, the emotional turmoil and whatnot, it doesn't die down immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, there's holdovers. But during the fourth day, in every one of the cycles. The new consciousness which is coming in overpowers the previous consciousness. It's happened every time in the fourth day. The last one, I'll talk about in the 1800s, what occurred in the fourth day was that power overcame law, and corporations became not just individuals, but corporations became the government of our United States. And in the next fourth day, what occurred was that power overcame law, and then what's happening now is that ethics will be overcoming power. We'll be moving to where the basic consciousness will be based on ethics, not morals and not control, but on our understanding of being a part of everything.
Yes.
And so we wouldn't hurt somebody else any more than we'd bash our own toe. And just a consciousness that most of us aspire and are living as best we can, are already living today. We're being ethical. We're not looking out to hurt anybody, not lie to anybody. We just want to be left alone and do our best, which we know is a lot more than anybody is giving us credit for. Every one of us are living that way. Or you would have turned off this radio program a while ago, or this web page. You know, we're already aspiring to this. And that's the kind of consciousness that we'll be entering more fully, with less and less burden of dark consciousness.
How do you see this playing out in the cosmos, if you will? Do you have any special inclination, let's call it? Of course, much of it based on the Mayan calendar itself, and then, of course, your gift of intuition. And that is in the way of as you described it, meteor field. Of course, it's really not a meteor field that we'll run into. What I'm thinking, folks, and Ian, I'm telling you this for the first time as well, that historically, if I'm reading some of this material correctly, that we would see the smaller rocks first before the big one or the bigger ones. It's not, if anything, I don't believe it's a meteor shower that we're running into, or the asteroid belt is shifting. I think it's simply a cycle, usually elliptical cycles, that we're coming into. And so with that as a background, Ian, what do you see coming in the way of cosmic events, and if you have a timetable in mind? People usually like to have a idea of what's coming in the next few months.
Okay. Well, I don't really want to paint big, bad, dark pictures, but what we're experiencing already is just the beginning of this acceleration. And things really have to change to where the powerful are not powerful anymore. Now, can you imagine that?
So here we are back to what the intervention might look like. I think I'm catching on. So, if I was to make a priority list, I'd probably put nuclear interaction as last. I know that's going to surprise some people. I would have to put in the first three something to do with natural phenomena. Ian, what do you think?
Well, first of all, something like 80% of the world population lives on the coastlines.
Yes.
Well, excuse me, but if one of those rocks hits the Pacific Ocean...
Oh, yes. 500-foot tidal waves.
There's nothing we can do about that other than be conscious of it,
mm-hmm.
and believe our intuition and if your animals freak out, you should too. You know, I mean, that's all we can do about that. And but you see, I don't want to be a doomsdayer. But the fact is that things have to change really drastically.
Yes.
And I don't see any of the powerful willing to step down. So,
and
every time before, there was like civil war during this period of time. So I don't wish to see a lot of shooting going on, but I am looking forward to heated exchanges of law.
Yes.
And of a civil takeover.
Yes.
Of governments and corporations, which are one and the same.
Yes.
By the people and return to the people who gave them the charters to form the corporation in the first place.
Yes.
It was your consent by which the government and all corporations were and are established. And by the retraction of your consent, then they lose their charters and cannot do business. Now, that's a big, huge step from where we are right now in consciousness.
Yes.
Most people are frantically trying to pay their bills to the corporation that owes them their allegiance.
Yes.
And it's completely stood on its head. This consciousness is leaking out and here and there, everywhere. And the more necessary it becomes for people to change their lives because of their credit situation, the more open they become to the actual truth of the situation that they have been S-C-R-E-W-E-D-D. And we can then do something about it. And now all that kind of thing is happening right now during this impatient stage of consciousness.
Well said. Ian, I'm going to give you this last minute. My throat is trashed. I can't stand it much longer, I'll tell you. But I'm going to make it through. Yeah, please, Ian, take the last minute.
Okay. I want to thank everybody who's tuned in. This has been a very important experience for myself because I have kind of come to understandings as I was talking on the radio. And I know that you are a very big part of that, and thank you very much. I want to let you know that there is a lot for us to look forward to. Free energy. We all have heard about it. Some of us have seen demonstrations of what we believe to be free energy. And that kind of technology will become available to consciousness during the fourth day and forward. Things like being in more close or more open communication with people, you could call it telepathy, will become more normalized. It won't be a freak experience. And medical miracles, which we have gained over the last 100 years, will be dwarfed by genetic understandings and also healing techniques using sound, light, color, all natural, harmonic healing modalities. Those things will come to be understood and utilized, like acupuncture has now. There will be more and more refined types of healing techniques. All of that sort of thing is right there on the threshold. And Mr. Bush and his boys are not going to stop that kind of technology from existing or proliferating. So we just have to hang on, keep creating our own future. Don't buy into what is being sold by the insurance salesman. Create your own future. And that's the way we make it through all this.
Okay. Well, we'll have to end it there. We made it through. Ian, thanks again. And if you would, please write an article for me, and let me post it up on my site. And we'll keep in communication on an upcoming basis that way as well. Of course, Ian is now posting almost daily, I think. Ian, do you have a message board on your site now?
No, we took it down.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, folks, got to run. Ian, thank you so much. We'll be in touch.
Okay, and thank you, everyone. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Folks, my throat is trashed. I'm just glad I made it through this interview, just me on a physical level. But the information is always good, grand, and useful. Next, Thursday, April 1st. My guest is going to be Richard Sauters. We're going to talk about these underground caves, these underground tunnels and drilling and what's going on. I am fixated on that as I'm monitoring these earthquakes, the size and the place. And I can't help but wonder what might be going on. So you want to be sure and tune in on that. That's this coming Thursday, 8 p.m. Mitch Batchelor, Earth Changes TV. Signing off.